All right, Longbox Heroes After Dark, number 95. I was gonna tell Todd a story off air, but this is one to tell on air. So I'm sick.
Oh,
I'm
goody.
dying.
Hot mics.
Yes. We'll see how shooty
Oh,
things
no.
get here. But what I was gonna tell you was we had mentioned because we were having some connective issues or whatever the hell was going on. And I'd mentioned that from the Brian days, I remember not to have a ton of stuff open while we're recording. And I wanted to tell Todd, because you would get a kick out of it, that in our little Puzzle Warriors Marvel Puzzle Quest Facebook group that we have, one of the guys had a birthday recently. And
Oh, that
listen,
was nice.
you know how I feel about adult males and their birthdays.
Yes, you absolutely think that everybody should have a big party and be adored.
And again, I don't know these guys too well outside of the group, for the most part. But one of the guys asked if Brian, our old editor on this show, would change his Facebook profile picture to that of an Edsel. And he did.
That's fantastic.
And I think he still
Even though he should
has
have
it as
changed it.
such. Less
He should have changed
because
it to a s
see you're okay. I'm not getting all the humor, Todd.
I if oh, that's probably because I don't know, connective issues or I'm not being funny.
A little bit of both. No, he did just change it back. He had some time to kill because his game was broken. I'm guessing that you were saying that he should have changed it to a Studebaker.
Yes, that's what I was saying.
Okay, because no, again, nobody listens to this show, any of our shows. Nobody in the group. I think like Mark does, and that's about it.
Oh, that's too bad. Well, that's okay. I don't
Yes,
listen to any of their shows, so we're even.
but you don't listen to anybody's shows.
Now, who knows? Maybe I do secretly. Maybe I super secretly listen to podcasts.
Isn't there some shitty Doctor Who podcast that you could be listening to?
I heard there was one Doctor Who podcast that went chronologically in order, but they weren't very good. So,
It was the
no,
worst
that's Star
reviewed
Trek.
pot. Oh, that's right. Star Trek Next Generation, another thing I have no idea what it is.
Yes.
A couple things that I do know
That's
what it
right.
is. Todd, football season started this past week.
Yes, it did.
And boy, howdy, you take those football games seriously, according to your Twitter.
Just one team. I don't care much about the other teams.
Big Bengals fan. Is that who they're playing?
No, they weren't playing the Bungles. They were playing the Saints.
Oh boy. One of the Raiders' many rivals.
You know what? Here's a story. Back in the day, the conferences were all messed up. They were like, there was three conferences and some teams had four. And some teams had five, you know, like now there's the AFC, you know, East, West, North, South. And when back in the day it was Seattle, Oakland, Kansas City, San Diego, and Denver. And they were like, well, one of you guys has to go out of there and go to a different conference because we're making four conferences in each division and you know, we're going to mix everything up because that way everyone will have four and it'll work out. So they sent them papers and they said, who are your rivals? And Seattle said Oakland, Denver said Oakland, Kansas City said Oakland, and I forget which one I said, but all four said Oakland. And Oakland's like, we're just going to abstain. We're not going to say who ours is. And then Seattle got bounced and.
Oakland said, "We're nice guys and we like everyone."
Yes, that's a patented phrase that I think they TM'd back in the day.
I will say this, with all your crazy football tweets. That the autumn wind is a raider is one of my favorite things, period. Back from when I was a football fan, that is one of the few things that I still hold on to as being something so cool.
That holds up even today, and I get goosebumps from it. Like those old NFL films, like music things.
Yep.
Are the best and just like knock you round upside down. I'm like, it is the perfect thing. They don't sing it. They don't. It's just you have that big kettle drum in the background. There's nothing cooler. Like try to that shitty San Diego Superchargers disco song, or if you've ever heard the Fly Eagles Fly on the banjo. Like yeah, these all fucking match. Autumn Wind. Get the hell away from me.
I like getting you riled up.
Yep. Oh, good game though. Good game.
I could tell there was several tweets toward the end that were on all caps.
Well, that's because I was losing my mind, Lenny. Losing my mind. They were behind, and then they come back, and they're down in New Orleans in one of the loudest, you know, which is a big thing, one of the loudest stadiums ever.
And did they do the who dat at them?
I think they were, you can do it to the Saints. But they were down and they come back and there's like 40 some seconds left on the clock. And all they have to do is kick the extra point and they tie, you know? So we figure if we could stop them, we go into overtime. And I'm like, all right, they're going to kick the extra point and we're going to be done, you know, overtime. And Jack Del Rio puts his hand up too. I'm like, they're going for two. So if they go for two and miss it, then we lose the game. You know, like you're not going to get the ball back in 40 seconds. They're just going to kneel it, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, go for two. And I'm like, you're crazy. Like, oh my God. And I got up, I was in the bar and the bartender's like, man, are you pacing? And I'm like, leave me alone, buddy. Either you're going to get like a lot of money in the next minute or, well, either way, whether we won or lost, I was going to party.
Well, you're either going to get a lot of money from me partying or you're going to get a lot of money from the insurance settlement when I tear this place to the ground.
That's right. So they go for it and Michael Crabtree catches it in the end zone. Or as I was calling him all game, Michael Grabtree, because there was nothing he couldn't hold on to, Lenny. Nothing. So they end up winning the game. And then for the rest of the day, I got to listen to while I was watching other games in the Sunday night game, they were talking about football and they're like, this happened and that happened. And how about Oakland? And it was all positive talk about Oakland. And I was like, oh my God, I can't take this. What's happening here? Oakland's on the uptick. 16-0, baby.
My buddy Joey feels the same way about his Bears.
Oh no, that's not happening.
I understand.
And
then my other buddy Jake feels that way about the Patriots.
Oh, well,
but that's
that might happen because Belichick sold his soul to the devil. He gave his soul and any charisma to the devil. I don't know if you know about Belichick's press conferences.
All I know about Belichick is he wears bright blue dress shirts with the white collars.
I thought he was more of a hoodie man.
Well, you know, when he's like fancy.
Oh yeah, I never seen him fancy. I always like tell us something, Belichick. What do you want to know? Everything? Can't be giving my game plan away. Yes. No. We played tough out there. All right, we done here? It's like, oh my God. Like, but I guess that charisma makes, you know, was in lacking charisma, he makes up for in football knowledge. Did I ever tell you I hate the Patriots?
Most people do.
Okay.
Remember when the Cowboys used to be the team that everybody hates?
Oh, they were America's team.
Right.
I'm making the jerk off sign right now with my hand.
When did the Patriots overtake the Cowboys as America's team?
I'll tell you when the moment happened. It was 2011 or 2001.
Okay.
2001.
Okay, I was going to say it was about 15 years ago, give or take a couple days.
Yeah, when they went on to win everything after 9/11, that's when they became the big team. They were the underdog, you know, 9/11 and the name of the Patriots, and they jobbed the NFL jobbed the Raiders in the Tuck game. Ugh,
I don't even know what the Tuck game is. I don't want to. Don't tell me.
You don't want to know what the Tuck game is?
Tell me what the Tuck game is.
Okay, back in the playoffs of 2001, I think it was. I think it was 2001. Yeah, because it was 15 years ago. They were playing the Raiders in the snow up in New England. And it was the end of the game. And it was one of those things where the Patriots had to go down and I think get a field goal to tie it up or do anything. Like, they were losing at the time. And One of the guys said he heard the play come in, and he knew exactly what it was. So during the play, he went and he hit the football while Brady was holding it. And it was one of those, he went forward to pass it, but he didn't want to pass it, so he held on to it, and he touched it. He brought it down to like his abdomen and touched it to his other hand. And as he did, somebody hit it and stripped it, and it came out. And it was like, oh, it's a fumble. If the Raiders get the ball, all they have to do is kneel it, and the game's over, and the Raiders win. But what happened was, it was one of this strange rule called the tuck, where it was in between a pass and tucking the ball. And it's the one time in the universe it couldn't be stripped. So everybody's like, that's a, you know, every Raider fan in the world just like was like, we have to shoot that referee. But in the end, they ended up driving down and getting the field goal at the time, tying it up, and they went into overtime to win it. But if that hadn't happened, we would have won the game. And then they went on like it was destiny in, you know, this terrible accident, terrible tragedy that happened. And their name's the Patriots. It's the one time, Leonard, it's the one time football might have been scripted.
I was going to say, I remember, again, the tuck game and all that sort of jazz sounds vaguely familiar. Mm-hmm. But I do remember back then feeling as though that the fix might have been in.
Mm-hmm.
To have an America-based team win to kind of bolster something in the country at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, again, I would have much rather the Raiders win and then they become America's team.
Oh, can you imagine?
Because I think they truly more so represent what America is all about.
They personify what America is all about. They really do.
I agree. I just said that.
They do. I'm just agreeing.
All right, good.
They'll knock you around, down and upside down until they've conquered and won. You gotta wait, baby. Here they come. Not Fly Eagles Fly or any of that San Diego Superchargers garbage.
When you say Fly Eagles Fly, yeah. I think of the Fly Robin Fly disco song.
I don't know that. Maybe that's what it's a takeoff of.
Awesome.
No, it was written in the 20s. The Fly.
Oh, jeez. The 20s.
I don't know.
Was there football in the 20s?
I don't know when football started. I think they had leather helmets. When you were done with the game, you rolled them up and put them in your back pocket.
So wasn't there another sporting event you took part of this weekend?
Sporting event? I don't know what you're talking about.
Now, see, this is part of their problem, is the fact that people don't consider Ultimate Fighting a sport.
Oh, that's right. I went to see that.
Right.
It was fantastic. Let's go.
Okay.
What do you want to know?
Well, I obviously there was some confusion. I was in bed maybe like 10 minutes before the thing happened. Mm-hmm. So I woke up. Again, it's not like one of those things that I was like tossing and turning. I'm like, oh boy, I wonder how this is going to turn out. I went to bed safe in my mind that I knew what the outcome of that fight was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And shock of all shocks, I was correct. I don't think I made a stretch judgment on this one. But you got to see it live, I guess. What was the feel as you were watching it? We're talking about the CM Punk, Mickey Gall battle at the Ultimate Fighting Championship.
Well, first of all, in the weigh-in the day before or earlier
right.
that day, he wouldn't shake Mickey Gall's hand or Mikey Gall or whatever it is. I don't
know. Mickey Gall. Now, there was another thing is that I guess he showed up. I saw the pictures of him showing up at the press conference, apparently dressed like a hobo.
Oh, I didn't see that because I just saw the weigh-in, you know what I mean? Where they come out in robes and then they're in their, like, trunks, so they don't have, like, extra change in their pocket.
He may have been wearing the same suit that Red Skelton's Little Tramp wore.
Oh, my goodness. I did see the picture, but I thought it was superimposed because
nope.
he had that smirk. I don't know if you know the smirk.
Oh, I've seen that smirk once or twice in my nightmares.
That he has, that seems to be superimposed on all things when I go looking for pictures of him. So I thought it was a joke, but yeah, I saw that. But he didn't shake his hand. That was unsportsmanlike.
Right.
And very.
He did not uphold the code of honor.
That's right. The UFC code. And, and I was shocked. I was like, oh my God. But then when the guy walked away, he did his CM Punk smile. So I was like, maybe it was a wrestling gotcha, you know, like one of those try to fake you outs.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So then we go to the fight. So we watch most of the fights that were, there was a few before them. And my one friend was saying, Scott, he was like, it's like, look at that table. There's like a 5-year-old and an 8-year-old. It's like 11 o'clock at night. And the father has them out watching people like beat on each other.
Oh, now, okay, so this is actually something interesting and good that you bring up, and we'll get to that shortly.
Right. So then I told the stories that I'll save for another time, how my father used to take me into the local bars at 11 o'clock at night, and my mother would be calling bar to bar to find me and my father when I was 4 or 5 years old. But that's a whole other story. So I was entertaining with that, and then when the CM Punk's fight started, or got ready, and they came out, shocking, he came out to Cult of Personality, Leonard. Mm-hmm. I was like, I didn't know what he was going to come out to, but...
Now, I do want to let you know, I did watch the fight after the fact.
Oh, okay.
So I know what happened. I just want to kind of get your feeling as you were watching it live.
Right. Sorry, I'm building up to it. Am I taking too much time?
Now, there's the other thing that, speaking of entrance music, Mickey Gall wanted to use the Tony Basil hit Mickey for his song.
Right.
And Dana White shouted it down and went on Twitter and said, he'll not come out to such a dumb song and blah, 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 blah.
Know what he came out to?
Right. Well, and Joe Rogan even mentioned it because Twitter's like, come on, let him use the song. Stop being a, you know, expletive deleted or I don't know what they were calling him. But it was one of those things where it was like, I want to use this song. Dana White, the head of the UFC, the Vince McMahon of the UFC, if you will, mm-hmm. was like, no, you can't do it. Twitter shouted him down and he ended up getting to use the song.
Right. So they used, what is it, the Hey Mickey, You're So Fine song.
Right.
Which I couldn't stop laughing at. So now... Right. So now
it's the equivalent of Homer in the boxing episode of The Simpsons coming out to Why Can't We Be Friends?
Yeah. So he comes out. I go crazy. I'm all in Mickey's corner. And then
what? I thought just to needle me, you'd be in the other guy's corner.
You know what? There's a whole thing after this where I'm becoming Team CM Punk.
What?
We'll talk. But so now CM Punk comes out. And the kids go crazy. The kids are like, yay. And like, I'm just booing CM Punk and staring the kids down. I'm like, if shit starts, I think I can take the both of them. Right? So the father looks at me and I wink at him. Right? And I'm like, boo. And
you give him the Iggy.
Yeah, I give him the Iggy. And he's like, he kind of like nods and laughs. And I'm like, we hate him. So we're just going to boo. And he's kind of like, whatever. You know what I mean? So right. Then the fight starts, and boy howdy. CM Punk's watching them. They're like doing their little, like sizing each other up. And then Mickey goes for him, and CM Punk goes high, and Mickey goes low, and just yanks his legs out. And that's it. That's the end of the fight. Then it's just 2 minutes of Mickey just pounding on CM Punk. I'm like, don't hurt the Pepsi tattoo. For the love of God.
You're yelling that out?
Yeah, no.
I wish you were.
Right. But then he ends up just destroying him. And CM Punk's got up. He's got a bent ear and everything. It's fantastic. But
all right. So, yeah, he got his ass whipped.
Yeah, he got his lunch handed to him, as we say.
Yeah. It wasn't the embarrassment that I was hoping it would be. I saw other people later saying, like, he didn't slip and fall getting into the cage. It's already a victory. And I'm like, are people reading my dream journal?
Oh, my goodness.
Because we had the conversation last week at the comic book shop, like, saying, like, you know, I'd said, yeah, I didn't want it to be a knockout because, like, then it would just be, like, a 4-second GIF that would live on the weekend. Like, it would live on the internet for, like, a day, and then it would be gone forever. Mm-hmm. Like I just wanted to, look like a complete fool.
I know the quote you actually used.
Go ahead.
Are you ready for it? He's like, what I want to happen is CM Punk goes to throw a punch and then he falls in a way that nobody's ever fallen in the UFC ring before. So Mickey gets all confused. And he's not sure what to do. And then he just, and then like the Keystone Cops ensues with CM Punk.
Yes. So was this as close to, in your opinion, in your expert opinion, as a fight analyst,
mm-hmm.
was this an embarrassing showing?
It was. It was.
Okay. Your unbiased expert opinion, I want
to
say.
Honestly, I'm not trying to be, the, like, you know, like in your corner against them. he was completely fooled by Mick. Like, when he went for it, if you rewatch that, and I watched it again, like, on the YouTubes, and he goes for it, and Punk thinks he's going high, and he doesn't, and it's over. It's over. And then he taps out, which I think is even more insulting, because he's this wrestler, whether or not, you know, wrestling's, I'm doing air quotes now, real or not, he just gets locked up, and he taps out. And then he gets up, and I don't even know what he was saying. He was saying, he was trying to give him his props after that, but I don't know. Then he said something kind of, Joe Rogan's like, well, you know, you came in here and you attempted something. A lot of people, like, you know, never drive. And I'm like, emphasis on attempt there, Joe. Like, cause he barely even got an attempt done, but he's like, oh, I'm coming back. And I'm like, after that? Mm-hmm. No, you should just go away after this. You got destroyed.
Now, again, folks listening at home, I did not prep Todd before this. Mm-hmm. I did not pay Todd to echo my sentiments exactly.
Mm-hmm.
This is what an unbiased person who hears me go on about Punk more than anyone else. Well, no, it's like, you're like in the top 10. But you came to these realizations from a somewhat unbiased view.
Right. Now, I don't know what kind of person he is.
Okay. I mean,
like, you know, people talk about he's a jerk.
He's a delight.
He's a delight. That he's, I believe, I'm trying to remember who it was, a friend of mine who used the word salty, I think was the word to describe him. But I don't know. But an unbiased, like, fight perspective.
Right.
He's got to give it up or he's going to get killed. Like, especially for a guy who apparently had concussion, who had issues with concussions and protocols and stuff.
Yep.
You can't do this anymore.
There was speculation. And again, this is only speculation.
Mm-hmm.
That based on those concussions, that he shouldn't have been issued a license in the state of Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
But the doctor who issued him the license said, I quote, he's one of those wrestlers like Brock Lesnar. He's fine.
Oh, that's good.
Right.
He'd be the healthiest president we ever had. Signed Zoidberg. But yeah.
So what is this now that you're going on, that you're going to be on Team Punk now, that you like the cut of his jib?
You know what it is? I really think I'm going to go on record and say you dislike him, right? So there's no misunderstanding.
Right. I despise him.
You despise him. But yes. Everything that I see him do in public is, to me, some of the most wrestling stuff in the world.
Okay.
And I think he's got heel heat with you. I think he got under your skin, and he's legitimately doing the thing that your profession, air quotes, does to get people angry. And he's got you. I think he's in your head. I think.
Okay.
So I'm, like, all about that.
So... I've told you the story, right?
Right. I know the stories.
Okay.
So
I understand what you're saying, that he's getting heel heat with me.
Mm-hmm.
But in the Cliff Notes version of this,
right,
there's a lot of stuff that he does that I definitely think is to get a rise out of people.
Right.
There's a lot of people who are very smart in the professional wrestling industry, whether currently or past or present or whatever it is, that in their current 2016 public persona, no, if I believe A, but I say I don't like A, I'm going to get more people tweeting at me if I just say I like A, which everybody else likes.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, there's a guy, and maybe this name sounds familiar to you, Vince Russo.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's Renee's Vince husband. Russo,
right. Vince Russo, in his public whatever, says he doesn't like Kevin Owens.
Mm-hmm.
Where deep down inside, for people that know him, he likes Kevin Owens.
Mm-hmm.
But if he says, I like Kevin Owens, he's just going along with everybody else.
Okay.
If I say, I don't like Kevin Owens, he's going to get online interactions
mm-hmm.
from the majority of people that like Kevin Owens.
Gotcha.
Okay. So, I get you with the Punk thing. But, and again, I'm not the only one who has this situation. Obviously, I can only speak for myself. Blah, 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 blah. But when I was helping his students get to training, get to and from shows, making sure that they can make their bookings. Mm-hmm. And he would call me to my face, their fucking mark.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, like, who was he getting heel heat with?
He was me. He was just doing that wrestling ribbing behind the scenes that wrestlers are known for.
Right, right. Because I was, at the time, a behind-the-scenes person.
Okay, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
A legitimate question. So you were somebody... Now, this is going to... I'm going to bring me into this, like, honestly. All joking aside, there was a couple of times where, you know, you were going to do wrestling. It was like, oh, yeah, I'll come along. And you're like, yeah, this and that. And I kind of took it, and I didn't take it personally, but I kind of took it as, like, is it true or isn't it that, like wrestling places, they don't want strangers there before the show?
Okay, they don't, but, and again, I could tell the story.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't there before the show.
Or
I wasn't,
or anywhere. I don't mean just before the show. I mean,
okay.
I'm asking legit questions. Like, I always equate wrestling to carnies, and not joking.
Yes.
It's like you guys have your little secrets. Who's wearing the mask? They don't want to be seen without it. You're gonna talk about shit behind the scenes.
Okay.
And like, and I invited myself a couple of times, and I get it, not thinking. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I do want to go down, but I don't want to drive. Maybe if I go early, and I get it. You know what I mean? So this, like,
things,
with him,
okay.
Maybe it's you were...
Things are a bit looser.
What?
Things are a bit looser.
Right.
In 2016.
Okay.
This is 2004, mm-hmm. and I understand what you're saying at a show, but I'm talking middle of the week on a Wednesday, dropping him off at a industrial park where their training facility was.
Mm-hmm.
The car is still running. He gets out. I leave. I go to get something to eat. I go to a strip club, whatever it is. He calls me when training is over.
Mm-hmm.
I come back. There's two people waiting there. My buddy and Punk. And Punk says, oh, I see you brought your fucking mark with you.
Oh, that was just a joke then.
Okay. It was good-natured ribbing.
Yes.
Right. So when it persisted over several months and then... You know, when I would take them to the shows, I would do the same thing. I would drop them off in front of the building. I wasn't going in fishing for free tickets. I wasn't looking snooping around
mark
or anything
photos
else like that. Was that?
For your
mark
photos.
Nothing. Drop them off. I know the show starts at X. I'll see you guys later. And that was the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
But he would still make a point to come and find me out and say this to me. Now, again, he didn't know me.
Mm-hmm.
It just, to me... felt like a shitty thing to do.
I guess that could be interpreted that way.
Right, I guess. I guess I could see your point here, Leonard.
Or maybe, you know.
Right,
fun.
We don't know the whole story.
That's right. How do we know your friend didn't put him up to it over and over again? And it was all...
Right, we don't know that either.
Right. You heard it here first, folks. Actually, I told this... I'm glad I told this story in the shop the other day to somebody who asked me.
Okay.
Somebody who I'm like, I know you would, like, if they were there when you told me the story, you wouldn't have minded. I think it was Tom, actually.
Oh, okay.
So it was like he ain't going to care if I tell Tom.
Mm-mm.
And I got it 60 to 70% right.
Yeah.
Maybe more. Because I had it when you showed up, and he said it before you left. So, okay. That's why I was, but anyway, I'm still Team CM Punk. It's very,
right.
It's a very wrestling thing to do. That's all he's doing. He's working the crowd.
Right. Mm-hmm. Working the crowd of me and him.
Right. Hey, sometimes you got to do it on a larger scope. Sometimes you got to, word of mouth. You go out there, you tell one guy, it's a whole pyramid scheme.
Right, exactly. I say, here's this guy who's a piece of shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll, listen, I've said this before as well, that toward like his WWE run, I really enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was really good when he was the champion, him and Paul Heyman together, when he had the long streak. And, like, I was one of those people, like, when he wrestled The Rock at whatever pay-per-view it was, I'm like, he should have won. CM Punk should have won that match. The Rock didn't need the belt. The Rock's match at WrestleMania with John Cena didn't need the belt. Like, it made more sense to keep the belt on Punk, who was a hot heel at the time, than it would be one of those two. And, you know, he ended up having the match with The Undertaker, and I always like when people have matches with The Undertaker, and it's not just, like, the Undertaker's streak is on the line, and the other guy is putting nothing on the line.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, if CM Punk not only is the champion, but he's also, like, the longest reigning champion of the modern era, and he's going against the Undertaker, now, like, you've got, like, these stakes all piled up upon each other, and I thought that would add more prestige to that match, whereas Rock versus John Cena didn't need all of that. But listen, there's a reason why I'm doing this podcast with you, and I'm not, you know, with Vince massaging his quads.
That's right. Or, and as much as I hate to say it, sitting on that 500 grand that CM Punk made from 2 minutes of getting his face pummeled.
And see that, you know, whatever it is, like, I don't begrudge him for that. Like, that's the deal he made, mm-hmm. and that's, you know, what they agreed upon, and, you know, I'm sure he'll probably get more when the pay-per-view numbers come in, but, you know, that part doesn't do anything to me. I just hope it now, as you mentioned, he just goes away.
I don't know. Maybe he'll be an announcer with Joe Rogan.
And that's great, because I'll never watch UFC. I'll never have to hear him. I'll never have to see him. But this is one of those things where it was like, you know, it's this big debut. It's been almost 2 years. I'm hearing about it from everybody. So I'm just glad it's over.
Honestly,
the great national nightmare is over.
I honestly wish you were able to come out and watch it.
Yeah.
That's the one thing that I wish. I think it would have been a good time. You could have, as I become Team CM Punk, you could have turned Scott anti-CM Punk. So you'd still have one in your corner. It would be like, you know, your team didn't lose anybody.
I don't need anybody in my corner when it comes to this one, Todd.
Yeah, I think you do. I think, he, you know.
No, it's, listen, man, this one I know is me against the world publicly.
Mm-hmm.
But I know privately it ain't me against the world, and that's a hook I can hang my hat on with pride.
Ah, okay. I'm getting an A&W tattoo soon.
All right, good. So soon-to-be-named-network.com, soon-to-be-named-network.tumblr.com. Check out all the shows. Some are back, some aren't. It's a sporadic schedule, but anytime there's a new show, it'll be up there. This was After Dark 95. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you here next week.